You're listening to episode 95 of the ESL Teaching Podcast. Being an educational consultant is one of the most rewarding experiences one can have. Through my website and podcast, I hear from so many teachers from all around the world who teach a variety of ages in a variety of places with a variety of experiences and resources. And what's even more exciting is that I get to work with some of those wonderful teachers as their coach. In today's episode, I am chatting with my teacher client, Leah Mitchell, who is an adult ESL teacher in Manitoba, Canada. Leah is a workplace language instructor and consultant. She has 15 plus years in the field of education and over a decade in adult instruction. 2 years ago, she decided to get her TESOLT certificate as she saw a strong need for alternative options in the adult English language realm. She's a big believer in helping adults gain English language skills in a balanced way without having to sacrifice work, family, and life. She's a teacher, business owner, mother, and just an overall wonderful human being. In our interview, we talk all about teaching and learning English in the workplace, about the what, the why, and the how of working with adult English learners, the biggest challenges and rewards of working as an adult language instructor, and so much more. This is the first episode about adult ESL on the ESL Teaching Podcast, and I'm super excited to share it with you all. So without further ado, let's get started. Hello, and welcome to the ESL Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Yeva Grossless, otherwise known as Simply Yeva, and I am so thankful that you tuned in. I'm looking forward to sharing both my knowledge and experience on this podcast, as well as that of my fellow teachers. Hi, Leah. So good to have you on my podcast.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So for those of you, if you heard it in the introduction, Leah and I go back a few months, and I am so happy to be helping you with your adventure of teaching adults. And also, we never had a guest talking about adult ESL education on this podcast. So Leah is going to be your go-to guru, and I'm super, super excited what you have to tell us.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I'm excited to talk.
So can you tell us all a little bit about your backstory? How did you decide to become an ELL teacher? And more, how did you decide to become an adult ELL teacher?
So my background is a little different than the average, I would say, ELL teacher. My first degree is actually, I went into business, human resources, because I know I liked working with adults. I like teaching and training. But then I decided, you know, I think I actually want to be in the school system. So I went back and got my teaching certificate. So I worked in high school, and then I had an opportunity to move up into adult education. And once I got in there, I just knew that was my field. And through that, just working with adults, I was working for a not-for-profit that worked with businesses and giving adults the skills for work. I just started to realize I was ready to go out on my own and I wanted to do something different. Yeah. So I started hearing about lack of, you know, ELL teachers, especially in rural. I'm in Manitoba, center of Canada, for anyone who doesn't know, just the lack of teachers, the lack of supports. And actually, too, a little bit of more backstory. My brother is an ELL teacher part-time. Oh. He lived in Japan and taught English there, and he does it part-time still. And so it's something that was always on the back of my mind. And I thought, you know what? I think I'm just going to jump and do it. I was ready to leave my position and try something new. So yeah, I went back and got my training and have been doing that ever since.
That is so cool. That is so cool. It's funny how we always, you know, think that this is where we're going to start and this is how it's going to go, the straight line. But it takes a little bit of a roundabout way until you land on the thing that is your thing. So very, very yes. Cool. And I didn't know, you know, in my family, we also have, like, I have two sister-in-laws that are ELL teachers. So I think it's a family thing, right?
Yeah, totally.
Once you work with people who are learning English, who have moved across oceans and who are landing and starting a new life, it's like such a rewarding experience, isn't it?
It is. And I love the working with people. I love hearing about the different cultures. I love just learning about all the different things, even just learning new words in different languages. You know, it's all, to me, it's just all so interesting and just all goes together and makes just doesn't even feel like work, right? You're just in there
Yeah,
having fun
right.
teaching. Yeah.
Absolutely. So you are the founder. You said you re was were ready to go off on your own, and you are the founder and CEO of Prairie Sky English. I love the name, by the way.
Thank you.
And talk a little bit about your company and what you do, and about like your business and your teaching setup and everything. Because I know I have a lot of listeners who reach out to me and say, "Do you have any tips for adult for those who work with adults? Do you have any how do you work with the adults?" So whatever you can tell us how your business works and what you do and what your teaching setup is, that would be very helpful.
For sure, yeah, I've got lots. I love to talk. So, so yes, I'm the owner of Prairie Sky English, and so I'm a bit of a different. I always say I'm the alternative to funded language programming or language programming that maybe universities, colleges, and school systems offer. So, what I do is I offer contract language supports to workplaces, businesses. Specific industries who are looking for someone to come in and teach their staff or teach a group of people. Some people contract me for a long term, like almost the school day. So I'll maybe work for them from September to June. Some people have me come in and do like an intensive for 2 or 3 months, and I come in for, a couple days a week regular. So it's very different what I do. It's multi-level classrooms, so it's not, just one. In Canada, we measure language with the Canadian Language Benchmarks, and so there's 12 levels. So, when I teach, I could have multiple levels in one classroom, not like a lot of the funded programming, things like that. So, it's very different from the regular. You have to be really comfortable, not just looking at language. When I go into a workplace, I'm looking at things like their language. I'm looking at how can I support them to be, better staff members for that company? How can I encourage them to stay in the area so that it helps the company retain employees? So my teaching business is a little bit different because it's not just language. I come in and I look at the whole picture. If I see that there's a literacy issue, with my background in education, I can do a reading assessment and get a sense of where their reading's at. All types of things. Some big things I definitely recommend to people when working with adults is that it's much different than working with students. You really have to, I always think when I'm planning, I think, would this interest me? Is this something I would find useful, right? Because, with adults, they want something they can use today, right? So for example, today I was in a class, and because it's the holidays, it's near Christmas, I was teaching some Canadian vocabulary Christmas, right? Something I brought up was Elf on the Shelf. A lot of people had never heard of Elf on the Shelf, right? But it's something as an adult and especially a parent, you're going to want to know because you're going to have kids coming home saying, well, I want an Elf on the Shelf, right? And so explaining what that is, what that entails. Another thing I would like to mention to people is that when you work with adults, you're not that, teacher at the front. They're not calling me Mrs. Mitchell. They're calling me Leah. To me, we're a team. We're a team together learning English, right? So it's really a partnership. We're all in the same boat and we're just working together. So to me, the biggest things are make sure what you're teaching is going to benefit them and it's relevant and it's helpful. And make sure that you have a good rapport with your class because, you want people to want to come back, right? With me, with workplaces, right? These companies are paying for this programming, so you want it to be beneficial. They want their staff to come, and I want them to come. So it really has to be a great partnership, and that's kind of what I look at adult education. It's a partnership.
I feel like you touched upon such an important thing. So yes, you're an ESL teacher, right? So you're helping the people and the workplaces. But I think there's just so much more. You're helping the community because I'm thinking about the parents of my students.
who sometimes don't have a chance to have an English lesson, or they do go by to those government-funded lessons, and then they have to get a job. So it's a job or a lesson, you know? And what you're doing, you're bringing the lessons right to the workplace, which literally doesn't require them to,
They
you
don't have
know.
to choose, right? They don't have to
Yeah,
choose
yeah. They
endless
don't have
stuff.
to choose the program. They don't have, and they don't have to spend money out of their pocket. It's the company that is investing in them, right? And then you are the person who is familiar with the language, with the culture. So you are the one that is giving them all this valuable information that when they go to their child school, they're not going to feel like, oh, I have no clue what they're doing, right? Or when they go to a community event, or when something has happened, you're giving them so much more than just language, like you said, because you're giving them the opportunity to start, you know, putting roots down in this new place and feel much more comfortable. So I feel like this is such a big task, and also a very exciting task.
It is, and it's a real. I try to tell people I look at language differently because in Canada here, a lot of the funded programming, it's 3, 4 nights a week for 2, 3 hours, and I just think for myself, I can't imagine working 8 hours driving home, and if you have a family, how do you go out again for 3 hours, 3, 4 nights a week, and then homework on top of that? It's just not feasible. So a lot of people just don't do it, and they're stuck, right? We have so many qualified people that just needs some help with language. And I think if we could get more workplaces to not to look at it as language, look at it as an investment to your company. Companies will pay people to come in to do communication workshops or project management workshops. Language isn't any different. It's just another skill you're giving your staff. And I think it's a competitive advantage. If you have two workplaces and one has language classes and one doesn't, they're going to go to the language classes.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I totally agree with you. So I kind of get a feeling I know what you like about, you know, being a teacher, but tell me, what is the most that you like about your current role?
I love the flexibility and I love that it's different every day. That when I even when I taught, in high school and in my past job, I loved that it wasn't always the same every day. So I love meeting new businesses. I love going and just seeing what they do. I love the staff from so many different places all over the world. And I love that, yeah, I can sort of schedule it how, between the business and I obviously work it out together, but I love having that flexibility where I don't have to be one place every day, all the time for the rest of my life. And that's huge, right?
I
It's
really
nice.
love that. I
Yeah.
really love
I
that
mean,
too,
I still
right?
have to show up every week, but I do have some flexibility with what I do, and I really like that.
Yeah. Okay. So, what do you like least about your current role?
I think being an entrepreneur, as you know yourself, you have to do everything, right? It's not just like I can, being in school where I can show up, do my prep and teach, right? I've got marketing, I've got networking, I've got accounting, I've got, advertising, all those things that you don't, just registering your name and making sure, just building a website. And so all those other things, it adds, in my mind, I would probably be teaching more, but it's just you have to set aside time to do all that work as well, right? So I would say some of that's my least favorite. My hope is obviously in the future as I grow to outsource some of that stuff so that I can really focus on the parts that I love.
Yeah, absolutely. And I totally feel you. And it's funny how you say, I think it's the marketing. I just spent like an hour and a half trying to create one reel, and I don't know. It's getting traction, but you have to choose, you know, where you put your energy, you know, in. And I
You
had a
really do.
Yeah, I had a friend who wants to start a piano lessons, right? Teaching piano lessons, and she's like, I have no clue where to begin. We created a Facebook page for her. It's like, how do I even get people to follow me? So these are a lot of things you have to think. You know, being an entrepreneur teaches you all of the teaching skills that you have, the critical thinking, the backward planning, the everything, you know, you can bring to your business, but at the same time, it feels a little out of your depth. So, but I think you're doing an amazing, amazing work. I highly encourage people to connect with you, especially on LinkedIn. I see your posts and I'm like, oh, this is pretty good. So
Well, and I think too, it's that finding out what works best for you, right? And I do, like, I have a Instagram account, but realistically, the people that I'm going to work with are going to be on LinkedIn. And so I really, I've listened to a lot of podcasts, and I really try to focus on, okay, where are the people that are probably going to contact me? And most of them will probably be on LinkedIn. So that's exactly why I post, and that's where I really focus that on my website, because I feel in the realm that I'm in, that's probably where, and I have connected with workplaces and gotten contracts through that. So.
Absolutely. So, what do you say is the biggest problem that teachers of adult learners encounter? It's probably, a little different than teaching teenagers or little kids, right? And how do you work around and solve those problems?
Honestly, I think it's time, right? We think of all of us, we're busy, right? And so to them, it's like English is just another thing they've got to do, right? So it's being realistic about what they can do in a week. I know, when I started a while back, I had assigned more homework, right? And people weren't doing it. And I thought, I probably wouldn't do it either, right? You're tired, you're busy. And so it's changing it around. Most workplaces that I go in once a week for 2 to 3 hours, right? So, and I know some people are like, oh, you can't learn language that way, but you can, because all these adults are working. They are being exposed to language every day. It doesn't matter if you live in Canada, you're anywhere at English speak, you're going to learn a little bit every day. What I do is come in and work on that grammar structure, and just gives them 1 day a week where they get more structured planning that they can use that week. So the biggest thing is being realistic of their time and understanding. And I always give homework, but I give them that option of, you know what, if you're busy, it's okay. And I actually use, I'll do a little shout out here. Ellie is what I use. And it's actually it started in Winnipeg, Manitoba. So it's a great program. It's online, and I can just assign online homework, and they can do on their phones. And so I found that's been helpful rather than just giving them paper copies of assignments, right? This is something they can do 5 minutes on their phone. Or I even just encourage, read stories to your kids in English, right? Or pick a movie with your family, right? Just even if you do 5 minutes a night, that's still going to add up. I always tell people with the Canadian language benchmarks, it takes 500 hours to increase a level. So if you're only getting an hour at work because maybe you're in a position where you're not speaking a lot of language, it's going to take you years to get where you need to go, right? So it's really just remind them why they're here, the opportunities that are going to open up when they get that language, making it relevant and exciting for them. But then also, like I said, backing off and not pressuring them, right? This isn't a class that's pass or fail. It's a I'm here to support you. I'm here to help you in whatever way I can. And if it's a little bit every week, slow growth, that's all I'm looking for.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like it because it's like a quick win, right? Like you said, they're most likely surrounded by English language, even if they don't get an opportunity to talk that much, right? But they are surrounded by the English language. And when they have that quick win, it makes a connection in the brain, and then they can bring it, whether home or somewhere else. And also, I also know that if you give people choices and not make it like a mandatory choice, somehow people tend to be more invested in it because it's their choice, right? So I'm coming to, like, I go to work, but I'm also learning English at the same time, which is like I can see the connection between that. And then if I do a little bit of like 5 or 10 minutes, like you said, right? I'm sitting on my French app 5 or 10 minutes a day, And it's like I'm then listening, and I'm like, oh, look at that. I can also like I can get it for a little bit, So I think it all connects. So I think this is a great way of looking at what you're doing.
Yeah, thank you.
So what are the workplace? So let's say it like this. You finally went through all of this marketing and all of this like email and LinkedIn and whatever. So, workplace reaches out to you. What typically do they look for when they hire you?
So usually, when someone's looking to hire someone like me, it's because usually they have a lot of newcomers working for them. And maybe they're noticing things such as maybe there's some errors happening, right? Like maybe there's errors, things, there's a lot of maybe mistakes happening, or maybe they're concerned about safety, right? Obviously, you need language to be safe in a lot of places. There could be maybe some cultural miscommunications, or maybe people aren't quite sure about some Canadian workplace expectations. So is usually a combination of things that's the reason they're reaching out. And a lot of that stuff just boils down to language, right? It's just people maybe don't understand, or they're unable to read posters or things like that. So they'll contact me, and then what I do is I come in and I do a needs assessment, and then we just talk about how they want to work the program, and then we cater it to them and go from there.
I love this. Yeah, very good. Now, okay, let's think about this. Let's dream a little bit. And I got asked this question, and it was on the spot.
Oh.
Where do you see yourself in your business in 5 years?
I see it growing. Like I said, it's an alternative to what's out there, and I think that workplace is different. And as Canada, as and same with USA, right? As more newcomers come, there's only so much money that the governments can put towards funded language programming, right? There will never be enough. And universities and colleges that offer programs, I mean, they're expensive, right? So, and we have, like I said, we have all this amazing people. So I think more and more workplaces are realizing that this is something they could offer, and it helps too, because then they can hire people who maybe don't have as a high level of English, but they know they can support them through language classes. So I definitely see it growing. I mean, obviously my goal is to
Yeah.
keep expanding out of my province, and because I see the need and I hear about the need, and it's just a matter of finding teachers to come work with me and keep growing.
Yeah, absolutely. I just was thinking about a recent conversation with my principal, and I thought of you immediately. So we have a population of people from Turkey, and they're very highly educated. The adults are very highly educated. Some of them come on contracts, some of them come as refugees, but a good chunk of the women that come along in the families are educators. And then there are some barriers, right? So you have to have a certification in your area, right? But to get a certification, you have to be, proficient in English. So now they are hired as instructional assistants, which our admin is in awe of their educational background and knowledge and how they are applying. And our principal says, caught me in the hallways, like, how do you think we can help those wonderful, wonderful, educators, paraprofessionals, boost their English, because they are fantastic. It's just we want to give them a leg up. And I, obviously at this point I didn't have an answer, but I'm thinking, like, if we had something what you do, I'm pretty sure the schools would probably invest in that as well. So, and yes, they are hearing all of this language at school, and everything is in English and everything else. But like I said, it's different situations of we have so many highly professional teachers, not teachers, but people who come from other countries, but yet the language barrier doesn't, allow them to keep moving forward.
Yeah, and I think too, I always look at it too, like, we hire personal trainers, we hire learning language isn't any different, because sometimes you need someone to hold you accountable every week. I mean, I always tell people too, I'm kind of like, I call myself a language teacher, but I'm also a coach, right? Because I think when people come to something every week, they're more likely to keep learning it, right? When you have to do it on your own, it's so hard to do, right? I know you talk about learning on your language. That's me too. I mean, every I'm gonna I lived in Mexico many years ago for a semester, so I've always tried to keep up a little bit of my Spanish. But to do it every day, unless someone's pushing you, it's hard,
I
right?
know
So,
you have to have like motivation, like real motivation. I don't know where for me it comes right now. I don't know. Maybe I'm hoping to go back or something.
But something like that, like you said, how you have all these highly educated people. I mean, that's exactly the kind of niche I'm in, right? It's, you're looking for someone that you can just contract to not have to go through all the barriers of maybe getting funding, because a lot of times funding comes with parameters. For example, sometimes in Canada, certain language classes, you have to have a certain classification, like you have to be a permanent resident, or you can't qualify and you can't take them, right? Or, yes, because you want to go to college, university, well, they don't have the funds for that, and they don't have the time, right? So, someone like me, I have all the flexibility in the world. What do you want? Okay, let's do it. You know, and sometimes it's just easier to just pay, get it done, right? And I think people are starting to realize that, yeah.
Oh yeah, I absolutely agree. Yeah. So, how do you maintain your work-life balance as an educator?
I laughed when I saw this question because there is no balance, I think, as an entrepreneur.
No.
I think some days I'm just way on the entrepreneur side, and some days I'm on the family side. And I think for me, it's sort of just every day, what are the, top 3 to 5 things that need to get done? And I make sure those are done. And I try really hard because I have, kids to, after school to be, that's my family time, right? I try to make sure, keep my stuff in the daytime or early evening and have that time for my family. And then, as an entrepreneur, you're never not working, right? So sometimes there's always something to do. So it's really just trying to like, okay, I try to take one day off a week, right? If I can, or at least like just work the morning and then, or get up really early. And so I feel like because I'm a newer entrepreneur, it's only been a couple of years, I'm still in that stage of I'm probably working too much, but that's what you do, right? That's how you grow. And it's just trying to be, get a decent night's sleep and exercise and do what I can when I can. And some days it works, some days it doesn't.
I think it's like, it's you say newer entrepreneur, but or like some people say like newer teacher, but I'm thinking as we're growing as entrepreneurs, teachers, professionals, right? Or people, we're growing as people also. So, whatever routine fit you in the beginning and whatever fears you had in the beginning, maybe you passed through them. And now this, as you're growing, something new is coming up. So, yeah, finding that balance is not always easy. I just thought about like from 6 to 9 yesterday, I did so many things. Like, ooh. It's 6 to 9 p.m. And then it's like, no wonder I went to bed late because I needed to chill a little bit. So, yeah, absolutely.
And I think just, some days it just is what it is, right? You're not going to be great at everything. And I think, like you said too, as you do more, you kind of get good at some things and those things become more efficient. So then maybe you challenge yourself and something else is hard now, right? And just keep going. And I think as long as you're open to learning and, making sure you take that rest when you can, that's what's important because you don't want to burn out. Entrepreneurships, it's hard. It's not for everybody,
Yeah, absolutely. So, last question. I always ask the first and last question the same of all my guests. So, in your opinion, how can all teachers set up their classrooms for success?
So I definitely think when it comes to adults, it's not so much about the setup, it's about that rapport with the group, right? Obviously, because I teach in workplaces a lot of time, I mean, I could be in a boardroom, I could be in a classroom, so I don't get to have the posters or anything like that, right? So I really try to just make it like a welcoming environment. To me, it's all about the environment. We talk about our weekends. I remember their kids and how are they doing and things like that, or if they've told me they were going to go somewhere, I try to ask about that. So really building that rapport with them so that they can come and ask me anything. I always say too, when you go into workplace, you're not just that language teacher, you're all those other things, but you're also a safe place for them to ask questions that they might not be comfortable asking in their workplace, right? I always joke, I've had people come in and say, well, I heard this at work and it's like a swear word or something, right? What does this mean? Because they don't want to look silly, right? And I'll tell them, right? Because as an adult, you need to know these words, right? You need to know what that means. So if someone says something, you know what it is, right? And so, I'm always there about 10 minutes early and I always stay for a few minutes after, just in case, right? If someone wants to come in and chat with me for a few minutes about something, they can. And so for me with adults, it's really not so much about the setup, it's about creating a welcoming environment that they feel that they can come and learn. And whether it's one word or 10 words, they feel like they've got something at the end of it. And then being prepared, right? I mean, most of the places I'm working, most of the people are very highly educated, right? Everyone's an adult. You have to have your act together, right? I'm always over prepared. I have my worksheets, or we do writing books, because you can't. They're adults. They have an expectation, right? As does the workplace. So you always have to be at the top of your game for sure.
Well, that is wonderful. Thank you so much, Leah, for coming and sharing your experience. opening up the eyes of a lot of educators into the world of adult education and adult ESL. Now, where can people find you and connect with you? I would like them to reach out to you on whatever platform you want them to reach out on.
Yes, so I'm very active on LinkedIn under Leah Mitchell, and L-E-A-H Mitchell. And then also I have a website. It's prairieskyenglish.ca. So if you people want to connect with me, definitely let's connect on LinkedIn. Or if you were interested in my services, my website, you can connect with me on my email through there, and we can chat.
That is perfect. That is perfect. So I will make sure the links are in the show notes. And again, thank you so much for being my guest today. And thanks everyone for listening. And until next time.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. If you loved what you heard today, be sure to do two things. First, make sure to subscribe to the ESL Teaching Podcast so you don't miss an episode. And second, leave a positive review wherever you listen, on iTunes, Spotify, or any other platform. Positive reviews will improve the chances of this podcast to be discovered in the feed and help our fellow ESL ELL teachers. And of course, there's a third thing. If you aren't following me on social media yet, come join me on Instagram at SimplyYevaESL, Facebook SimplyYeva, or connect with me on my website, simplyyeva.com. Thanks again, and until next time.